everybody, and welcome to the latest Snortcast, or should I say, ni hao, which is hello in Chinese, because obviously the Beijing Olympics are on. Anyway, coming up in this week's Snortcast, we have our very own man, Nigel Ringland, in Beijing, and his take on the opening ceremony of the Games. Can you believe that seven-year-old was miming? I never would have guessed. Also coming up, the problems with the sat-nav in my car, the joys of buying brand new clothes, particularly school uniforms, and an incident that happened when Kirsty was taking her kids to get their uniform. Also, we reminisce about going back to school, and do you remember those pre-formals you used to organise? Where do they take place now? We'll find out on this week's Snodcast. Ladies and gentlemen, I was at a wedding on Saturday, which was interesting. Because that is number five, wedding number five of the year. Mm-hmm. Wedding number six is coming up in December. And then the first of 2009 is coming up the start of January. So it's been a pretty eventful year in terms of weddings. But on Friday afternoon, went down to Castle Leslie in County Monaghan. Uh-huh. And spent a day and night there. And then a sat-nav was brilliant getting us there.
Really?
With the exception of Armagh.
Why?
Took us the fastest route. Oh, why? Fastest route, all right. Up a one-way street, okay, with cars parked the whole way up one side. Got to the top of the street, right? What do you hear? Got to the top of the street. And guess what? There was one of those road-closed, you know, barriers.
Oh, you couldn't get out of it?
Couldn't get out of it. So much for the fastest route. Mm. So let's just say I call my sat-nav all the names of the day. You see, there's this other issue with the whole sat-nav thing, mm-hmm. which is slightly political. Do we want to go political this morning?
Not really.
Right, okay.
It's Monday.
Okay, right. We're in Monaghan, okay?
Yeah.
And that was fine because it typed in Ireland, Monaghan, okay?
Yeah.
Then went to type in Oma, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And Oma wouldn't come up.
Right.
Okay. Country, Ireland. City, stroke town, Oma.
You'd have to put in Northern Ireland, Oma.
Oma wouldn't come up. Northern Ireland's not on it. So you have to go to Europe and then type in Oma. Talk about going around the world for a shortcut. I'm sure there'll be a lot of people with political views out there. I'll be going, burn the sat-nav, burn it!
The Beats Nodding Breakfast Show. Snodcast.
Now, on the weekend, ladies and gentlemen, I was down at Harvey's Point for a wedding on Saturday in Donegal. Mm-hmm. I was on those weddings where I didn't really know too many people. We were away to a wedding which featured the bride and groom. The bride being a girl that my wife used to live with at university, and I'd never met her hubby before, and I hadn't seen her in like 7 years. Mm. So there was only like two other couples that we knew on the day, and mm-hmm. it turned out to be a cracking day. You know, sometimes you go to weddings, right? And it's pretty pants when you
don't
know
anybody. Were you not looking forward to this, Pete?
I have to say, no, I was looking forward to the break, yeah. What always infuriates me about weddings, right? If you go to a wedding where you don't hardly know anybody, and it comes to the speeches is my favourite part of the wedding day, right?
Yes.
And you understand.
If you know the people well enough, you can understand
You can understand all the stories and all.
Yeah.
But sometimes the speeches can be really, really, really crap
boring
if you don't know them, right? Anyway, the speeches were great. Do you know why? They were all jokes off the internet, right? And and there was no personal sort of... there was nothing personal about any of the speeches, which was quite good for me, because then I was able to understand what was going on, so that was all good.
Very good.
Anyway, at the tail end of the night, when we were waiting outside for a cab at about 2 a.m. Oh, by the way, morning to Jonathan from that particular hotel, right? Mm-hmm. I mentioned on Friday I was going there for a wedding. Well, he tracked me down. This is the guy that does all the reservations for weddings. He tracked me down.
Uh-huh.
And he says, Pete, I believe you give us a big mention on the radio here to me. A big mention? I just said I was going. I didn't actually say too much. He says to me, well, thank you very much. If you want to come up again, no problem. Just give me his card. And I was like, brilliant.
Does that mean are you getting a freebie?
No, I'm not getting a freebie because I'm not going to be back up there again. Well, Maybe in a few years' time, but don't be up there anytime soon.
Where were you again?
No, I'm not going to say. Anyway, next on the agenda, I would like to go to blah, blah. I'm going to do a wee list out and I'm going to mention them all. If only I could. Anyway, at about 2 o'clock in the morning, we were waiting for a cab because I couldn't get a hotel room because it was fully booked. And we were going into Donegal Town to stay. We were standing outside and Paul, who was with us, a friend of mine, was going on about this movie called The Castle.
Right.
And I don't know whether anybody's actually seen this movie. It's based in Australia. It's quite a cult sort of thing, apparently, right? Mm. And it's like a Del Boy and Rodney type sort of situation whereby they're buying and selling stuff. And the son would be going through the paper going, hey, Pop, there's a lawnmower here for like $900. And the dad would say, $900? Tell him he's dreaming. right? And at 2 o'clock in the morning, after I had a few drinks on board, right? This is the most comical thing I'd ever heard, right?
Telling me streaming.
And you could use that in so many different sort of ways.
Mm.
All right? For instance, Kirsty, right? If you turned around to me and said, the boss wants to see us this morning at 10 o'clock for a meeting. Tell him he's dreaming. Do you know what I mean?
That works well.
It works well. Do you know what I mean?
It wouldn't.
It wouldn't work well if we actually said that to the boss. But you know what I mean? It could work in so many different ways. So for instance, right, you're in work, okay?
Uh-huh.
And the boss wants to see you at 1 o'clock over your lunchtime mm-hmm. for a meeting about, let's say, reducing your salary.
Or your productivity.
Tell him he's dreaming.
Yeah.
See, I mean, it works in so many different ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, if there's someone you would like to say, tell him he's dreaming to, right? Get in touch with the show.
Snodcast.
Tell him he's dreaming.
Yeah.
And I think this is the best line ever. And you can use it in so many different circumstances. Helen saw the movie. She says, it is a must-see. It's a classic film. So I'm going to have to try and hire this out.
Right.
Mind you, talking to movies last week, like Pump Up the Volume, and Weekend at Bernie's, and Leaving the Cube, and all these other sort of classic movies that I want to get. I've gone online to purchase them. I have bought them.
Have they arrived?
No, because they're not in stock. So the people who I'm trying to buy them off have to try and get them from somewhere else before sending them to me. But they've already taken my money out. How is that fair?
Anyway, nothing's
arrived yet, because I was hoping yesterday when I went home, Weekend at Bernie's, because it says it has been dispatched, would be there for me. Hadn't arrived. Had to go and hire something else out.
Rubbish.
Actually went and watched We Own the Night last night, which is very, very good. If you're in the DVD store, doesn't the same ring to it, sure, doesn't
it? No.
If you're in the DVD store, having a look at what to hire out, that We Own the Night movie is very, very good. Just to let you know. Anyway, right,
cool.
When it comes to tell him he's dreaming, Gemma says, a guy at work who's double my age has the hots for me, tell him he's dreaming. See, it works really, really well.
Yeah.
For instance, right,
What else?
Paul's been on and he says, my mate Chris reckons he's going to win the lottery this week. Tell him he's dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
It works.
Yeah, it does work.
Gordon Brown's looking forward to his next 4 years in office as Prime Minister. Tell him he's dreaming. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I see where you're going with this. Sounds good.
What have you
still
got?
Still can't think of anybody.
What about Pete Doherty?
Pete Doherty, he wants back with Kate Moss.
Tell him he's dreaming.
Yeah.
Or...
Bex. David Beckham. Wants Posh to put on some wit.
Tell him he's dreaming.
The Pete's Nodding Breakfast Show.
Snodcast.
Well, here, listen, I went for reflexology.
Yes, sorry.
And for those people who didn't know what reflexology is, because I have to be totally honest with you, right? I'm not like telling you to suck eggs or anything like that, but I didn't know what it was.
It's when they feel your feet.
They feel your feet, and they give you a really good rub down on your feet, right? But they're able to tell all the stuff that is going on with your organs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Depending on what way your feet are and whenever they push them. And whenever they're pushing certain parts of your feet, you could hear your stomach rumbling and you could hear other organs moving and stuff like that. True, Bill, by pushing certain parts of the feet.
On,
I swear
Pete.
To you, Kirsty. I swear to you.
I know what you're like about stuff like this.
No, I'm being totally honest with you. Seriously, they push a certain point in your foot and your stomach will gurgle. I guarantee it. Go and try it out.
Did you eat before you went?
Yes.
What did you eat?
Burger and chips.
Well, you see, that'll do it every time.
No, true, Belle. But whenever they pushed other parts, you heard other parts of my organs in my body actually doing something. Kirsty, I know you're laughing, but it's true. Right, we need a reflexologist in the line. 918-2010, right? If you do reflexology, call us up now. 918-2010, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then she was able to tell us all this different stuff. Now, remember, I had it done one other time and I said it at the front of my shins was really, really, really sore.
Yeah.
Whenever she was doing her massage stuff. The reason for that is, right, mm-hmm. is that I suffer from slight shin splints, which I got whenever I played hockey whenever I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
She also said I have ligament damage. I've also got a problem with my right shoulder and it's right whenever I lift it up, it clicks. Okay, she can tell us off of my feet.
Yeah.
She also said I've got a problem with my lower back, which I did have, remember, a couple of months ago?
Yes.
I painstakingly crawled out of this studio.
Yes, but she means it's still there.
Yeah, it's still
so
there.
So you need to be careful.
Still need to be careful, yeah.
Yes.
What else did she tell me was wrong? Left shoulder's not as bad as my right shoulder, but there's something wrong with it too. I'm just like a walking croc. True, Bill.
For you.
Are you a reflexologist?
Well, I'm not a reflexologist, but I'm a huge fan of it.
Pete, are you?
It is incredible. I was pregnant. My little boy is 20 weeks old. And they were able to tell me the sex of him.
No.
Yes.
But there's a 50-50 chance of them getting it right.
This is good, though, too. This is good. You know why?
Why?
It's much cheaper than getting an ultrasound.
It is, you see?
Unbelievable.
And best of it is, I had reflexology twice a week up until I went into labour. And they put me in labour. They were able to, like, massage my feet to make me go early.
This is great. So it saves any nasty injections.
I'm going to have to call my friend Karen. I saw her yesterday.
Uh-huh.
She's huge. She's huge, Mama. She's just about to have her child in 3 weeks, right? So I get her to get some reflexology and she'll go early.
She was don't really want to go early, though.
No, but she does want to go early. She was scrubbing the floors and all down her hands and knees, hoping it would come out early. It's
definitely reflexology every 48 hours.
Every 48 hours, right. Okie doke. All right, well, listen, it's been lovely talking to you.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
There you go. I know it is very good, and I know a lot of people rate it, but I don't believe that you can hear your organs doing
it. You can hear your organs do it.
Oh, Pete.
I swear to you, you can. The only bad thing about it is, all right, it's like sitting in the headmaster's office waiting to hear, you know, what you've done wrong.
Yeah.
Because I was just looking at her. I wasn't relaxed by the experience.
No, but you don't even like having your blood pressure taken, Pete, in case there's a problem. Do you know what I mean?
So I was actually sitting there, right, as she was rubbing my feet, and I was under pressure because I was worried that she's going to tell me there's something seriously wrong. But if you don't think like that, feel free to have a go. Snodcast. Now, yesterday morning we touched on this story.
Yeah.
And as a fact that this Friday is going to be a very, very sad day on EastEnders.
I know.
Because Willard is passing away.
Wellard.
It's all the same. It's a dog.
It's Wellard.
Wellard. Okay, sorry.
As in Wellhard.
Wellard, right?
Wellard.
Is going to be passing away.
Yeah.
But in real life, he's not going to be passing away, sure.
No, he's still fine. If it's the same dog, I don't know if he's the same one all the time. Maybe he have three.
Okay. So anyway, Wellard is going to die.
He's being put to sleep. It's different. Well,
he's still going to die, Kirsty. Let's face it.
I know, but, you know, it's not like he's going to suffer some really bad traumatic death.
Yeah, I know.
He's having a needle.
I've been thinking about this over the last 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, Wellard, right, has to be one of the most famous dogs in TV.
Shep. Goldie.
Jade Goody. The Pete Snodden Breakfast Show. Right, Kirsty. Another day. Another game off.
Pete and Kirsty play. Guess what?
Well, very good morning, Liz. You're back on again today. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good stuff. Are you in the car?
I sure am.
Are you in hands-free?
I am, yeah.
Are you going to pull over?
Yes, I will.
Good stuff. Whilst you do that, we will speak to Tom.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Larry the Leprechaun. Please welcome to the Pete Snodden Breakfast Show, the Lord of the Brush, Tom.
Hello, Tom.
Hello, Pete.
How are you doing today, mate?
Not too bad.
Good. Your confidence is growing and growing and growing.
Yeah.
How many days have you been on the show now?
I think it's about 2 weeks and 3 days. But I think yesterday was near enough the crunch, I thought.
Right, well, let's see how you fare today. And I've got to say, I haven't had a chance to write down any wee cryptic notes on how I'm going to explain this. Kirsty is busy beavering away right now as we speak, aren't you, Kirsty?
But I'm having problems.
Doesn't matter.
It's a tough one today.
You've still got one up on me here. Right, okay. Hold the line first, Tom. We're going to play with Liz first. All right, Liz?
Oh, yeah, fine.
Right, ready to play?
Yes,
okay, you've got to identify exactly what I'm talking about. Remember, say pass as soon as you feel that you cannot answer. All right?
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, go on ahead.
30 seconds in the clock. Let's play. All right, okay. These are called something and something. You screw one into the other.
Nuts and bolts.
Correct. I would eat one of these every lunchtime. It would be bread, then something in the middle of it, then bread on top. Correct. No. Right, okay. You get this in the bathroom. It rolls out. What's it called?
Tile.
No. You pull it. You pull it, okay. Right, okay. One of these flies around on a broomstick at Halloween.
Oh, which?
Correct. The kids take their pens and pencils to school in this.
Pencil case, good bag.
Correct. You would also call this a poke. What would it be?
Ice cream.
Correct! Yeah! Get in! Now, that would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I can't believe you didn't get toilet roll, by the way.
Oh, right, sorry.
Okay, but that is still 5. Well done, Liz. I would imagine Tom is bricking it. Hello, Tom.
Hello, Pete.
Ready to play?
I am, yep.
Let's do it, Kirsty. You ready?
Oh, no, I'm not ready yet.
Doesn't matter. 30 seconds in the clock.
Okay. You shake it, then press the nozzle, and this stuff comes out. Some people just like to put it on. No, some people like to put this on things just so they can lick it off.
Fresh cream.
Yeah, but it's not fresh cream.
Body cream.
That's the one. Yep. Okay, Chinese people eat lots of these.
Right.
No, it's not rice. It looks a bit like spaghetti.
Spaghetti.
It's not spaghetti. Yes. This person, female actress, played Catwoman and Batman, a main female role in Grease 2.
Doesn't matter. I'm the ball on this.
Jeremy Clarkson, James May, Hammond's the hamster, or presenters on. Time's up. Tom, I'm sorry. I was rubbish today. I did try.
Well, okay.
Tom, it's been lovely having you. Tom, it's been lovely having you in the show for the last 2 weeks and a bit. Unfortunately, your reign has come to an end.
It has indeed, no problem.
Well, it's been lovely speaking to you. You have a lovely day.
I love playing with you on a regular basis, Tom.
So I've loved playing with you too.
Excellent.
All right, Tom, have a good day, matey.
Cheers, bye.
Bye-bye.
Liz, we did it! Liz?
I'm here, I'm laughing, yes.
We did it, Liz! We did it! Kirsty, what is the scores?
I don't know.
Anyway, Liz, the girlie's got the point.
I think you're on 9 points. Liz, I think we're still on 17 or 18 or something like that. I'll check it out.
Liz, you're back on the show tomorrow morning. We'll speak to you then.
Happy days. Bye.
Bye. Snodcast. Yesterday, ladies and gentlemen, I discovered something yesterday afternoon. You see, what normally happens is I leave here, it differs every day, but yesterday I get home. I've been having my lunch really late in the afternoon, not getting into it by 4 o'clock of late. So what I do is on my digital TV service, I record Neighbours at 1:45, so it means whenever I come home, I can have my lunch while watching Neighbours, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yesterday I had a sandwich and a packet of Lufa crisps, actually, yesterday for my lunch. Sour cream and chive. They were quite nice, actually.
Ooh.
And I sat down to watch Neighbours. And in the middle of Neighbours, I found out that Home and Away is on a 3-week break. God forbid that ever happened to Neighbours. I don't know what I'd do. Because there's nothing else to watch on the TV. Because by the time you come home that time in the afternoon, Loose Women's all off.
It's over.
Fern and Philip. Or sorry, Eamon. What's Eamon's missus called? Ruth?
Ruth Langsford.
See, all that stuff's off. You know what I mean? In the afternoon, it's just rubbish on the TV. With the exception of Ainsley, sometimes on with Cank or Ready Steady Cook.
I haven't watched that for ages.
So anyway, we've been in Neighbours, and I discovered that Home and Away is actually on a 3-week break. Does that mean all the actors and actresses have to go on holidays for a 3-week break, or does it mean that Channel 5 are still in negotiations with the TV show and they're taking a 3-week break while they negotiate on the next lot of episodes?
No, I think it's normal.
Is it?
Well, that runs all year, 5 days a week. Do you
yes.
know what I mean?
But there's so many months behind. We're so many months behind here.
I know, but for us to stay behind...
Well, they have to take a break.
They've still got... They need to take a break.
Rubbish.
Everyone's entitled to a holiday, Pete.
Yes, I know that. I'm going to ask some boss for one later on. Anyway, last night, I was talking the other day about trying to locate some DVDs that I've been trying to get, including Pump Up the Volume of Christian Slater. Hasn't arrived yet. Weekend at Bernie's was dispatched yesterday, and I went home yesterday, and I thought to myself, this can't be it already. Opened it up, and guess what it was? Gleaming the Cube with Christian Slater
fantastic.
From years ago.
Well, that didn't take long, did it?
I must say, I was surprised whenever I sat down to open up the box. It's actually only a 12 rating, which probably makes sense considering I watched it years and years and years ago.
Yeah.
But very good movie. So Julia and I made dinner last night. We sat down, had the dinner.
Mm-hmm.
I said, right, come on, one of you see this movie? She goes, I don't know, my dad looks pretty rubbish. She goes, no, it's great, it's great. She goes, oh, because I suppose you've never shown me a bad movie yet.
And did I thought, you like it?
Then? I thought, oh.
Very good.
Shine my halo.
Oh, yes.
She fell asleep halfway through. Snodcast. Thing about the internet, right? As much as the internet is fantastic and a great, 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 great tool for everything in life, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's good for music producers in terms of getting their music out there, but it can be somewhat bad, right, for the DJ.
Why?
Right, well, number one, okay, some people say it's great because you get free music, but that's bad because it's illegal, right? But it's somehow... It's making a DJ's job, right? Although variety is the spice of life, somewhat more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Because in order to get that hidden gem, that classic tune, right? You've got to wade through a hell of a lot of crap. Because if I went now, right, over the next 5 minutes, right, and produced up a 3-minute tune, okay, it'd be rubbish. But I could upload it on the internet.
Yeah.
And then people could be going and downloading it and wasting their time. You know what I mean? A lot of time wasters out there because there's a lot of crap on there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Anyway, Sam Sparrow, top look. Not that I've met him or anything like that, but I would like to. 21st Century Life. 20 minutes to 7 o'clock right now. 8 days to the A-level results come out. feel for you. 15 days to GCSE results come out. Feel for even more because you've had no experience since 11 plus on getting results.
I know.
It's a real pain. Bless. Yeah. I want to know what the big party is this year. I want to know where do they have the pre-formals and all now?
I don't know.
Well, where do they have them?
Do you know, because I keep trying to remember the name of the place where we had one of ours. And it was, why do you call it pre-formals, by the way, actually?
Right, well...
Because we just call them formals.
Yeah, okay, right. Well, your formal, right, at school is your formal.
Oh, but we didn't have a formal at school.
Did you not?
Well, it was an all-girls school, you know?
Well, I went to an all-boys school, but we had a formal. We had to bring a date.
All right, okay.
Do you know what I mean?
No, we didn't have one. I think something had happened a few years before we turned up.
Oh, she didn't have a formal. All right, okay. Well, Julia went to Belfast High, right? And they had to bring... I don't think they could bring anyone from the outside. They had to pair up with a bloke from their particular year.
A bit like the American proms.
Something like that, yeah. Whereas we had our formal, although we went to school in Belfast, our formal was actually held in the Marine Corps Hotel in Bangor. Do you know why?
Why?
Because there was an incident right at the Clodden Hotel the year before at our school formal.
You weren't allowed back.
I don't think they were allowed back.
Well, what do you call the hotel that used to be where Forest Side is?
Oh, that was the Drumkeen Hotel.
The Drumkeen Hotel. Oh, that brings back memories. On the corner.
On the corner, yeah. Mm. In fact, you know what? You see, if you pass Forest Side, right, coming down the Ormo Roadway, there's still the signpost outside for the Drumkeen Hotel. But the Drumkeen Hotel, if I remember rightly, was blown up.
Did you hear my tummy?
I heard your tummy, yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, it was blown up, I think. I think it was bombed.
Really?
Yeah, if you can confirm that, that's great. 63103 in the text. I think it was bombed numerous occasions. Maybe it just burnt down in the end. I don't really know. But anyway, someone will confirm it on the text this morning.
I ripped my formal dress in there. Like, really badly.
All right, okay. So what formal was this you were at if you weren't your school formal?
People used to have them for their birthdays.
Yeah, well,
so we had quite a few of those. But my mum had a dress made for me, and it was like a fishtail dress. It was really tight fitted down to the bottom, and then it went out a wee bit. And I was running onto the dance floor because I was excited. This is like within 20 minutes of turning up.
All right.
I tripped on the little step onto the dance floor.
Oh, dear.
Put one knee down.
Oh, dear.
And the stitching all went on the front seam, sort of from like just below my waist right down to my ankles.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. So I had to sit.
So you were in full view?
Yeah. Not good.
Well, the pre-formal element, right, was that you used to have these sort of dances, if you want to call them, right? Probably the wrong word. But anyway, big party, right? Mm-hmm. In a venue. And the door money was used to perhaps fund something of a sports club or perhaps money going towards your big formal. So we had numerous ones of these. We had them in different venues. Paradise Lost.
Yeah.
Casey's Nightclub at the Le Mans House Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
The Network Club. North Street. Top Floor. That's normally where we sort of had them. But I wonder where the venues are now which take these people.
I don't know.
Because, of course, like, you know, they're underage. I mean, there's been drinks sold.
Ours were generally 19th birthday parties.
Come to think of us, yeah, so we're ours.
Snodcast.
Last week, Nigel Ringland, our very own sports correspondent, flew the coop off to Beijing for the Beijing Olympics, which are starting this Friday.
I have to say, I'm a bit concerned for him.
Yeah, we're slightly concerned.
I've been looking through the Daily Mail this morning and they have all sort of like examples of fast food available in Beijing. Now, if you have a
weak stomach.
A weak stomach, yeah. Maybe, turn the radio down for a couple of minutes.
30 seconds.
Okay, your choices on the menu this morning would be dog livers with vegetables, goat lungs with red peppers, dog brain soup, dung beetles, black scorpions, silkworms, sea sedas, but they look a bit like locusts, or seahorses on skewers.
I'll tell you something, if I was going to Beijing for the Olympics, right, and I was going in to have some fast food, I wouldn't be asking to go large.
Oh, no. You never know what you'd end up with.
I know, poor Nigel's over there, though. Bless him. Hope he brought a six-pack of potato.
The Beats Nodding Breakfast Show.
Snodcast.
Oh, I'm so excited, Kirsty.
Why? Why?
I know you don't do opening ceremonies, right? But I have to say, I love the opening ceremonies of big sporting events, be it the World Cup, be it, you know, Euro 2008. Mind you, okay, the one downfall I had at Euro 2008 was Enrique Iglesias. Why was he there? What? Or was that the closing ceremony? It was the opening ceremony, wasn't it? Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Well, why not?
Just, I just... Listen, the volume was turned down, so I wasn't affected by it. But I just didn't really think that he was the man to do the job. That's just my own personal opinion.
See, the only reason I don't get to watch opening ceremonies is because I'm not in control of the remote house. Otherwise, I might.
You get a wee bit of SpongeBob, don't you?
Yeah.
We cross live to Beijing, our sports Jedi, Nigel Ringland. Good morning, Nigel. Sorry, what a time is it there?
Nigel? Well, I was just going to introduce you. It's 4:15 in the afternoon.
Your day is almost done.
My day's work's almost done.
Well, Nigel, it's
lovely. Day's work.
It's lovely.
Day's work usually almost done about 9:00 in the morning.
Right.
Anyway, what I wanted to say was, ni hao, Pete. Ni hao, Kirsty.
Ni hao, Nigel.
You don't really know what that means, do you?
Say hello.
No, it might mean hello, but if I said it wrong, it may mean something else.
Oh, I think Kirsty said it wrong, to be fair.
Yeah, well, I have no idea what she was on. Right, Brad, by the way, Pete, congratulations on the rather cliched Olympic music there. Being the chariots of fire, good one.
Yeah, I know. Well, Nigel, because you've been over there, you haven't realised I've played this under your sport report for the last 2 days. anyway, hopefully you're doing all right. Now, it's only a matter of hours now to kick off.
Well, there's a big clock here in the National Stadium, in the Bird's Nest, counting down. 3 hours, 42 minutes, 58, 57, 56 seconds to go. I have to say, I've got a great seat. I'm literally 10 feet from the track, right in the front row of the press tribune area. I got here, I was in the first bus from the main press centre to the National Stadium.
You're king.
You're such a spotter, Nigel. You're such a spotter.
I just believe it's my duty to give you guys the best coverage from the best locations.
Absolutely.
Hat off to you, mate. See, when it comes to contractor real time, you're bang up there with a bit of a pay rise.
Well, exactly. Well, I wish. I'm here over 4 hours, 4 hours, sitting in 90-degree heat. So by the time the opening ceremony begins, and at 1:00 your time, 8:00 here in the evening, I'm kind of sweating through my clothes already.
I can imagine that. Yeah. We checked out the weather forecast for Beijing today. It's 33 degrees and hazy.
Yes, it is hazy. Well, you say hazy, I say smoggy. You take your pick. It depends who's telling you about it, whether it's another journalist or if it's somebody from the Chinese Olympic Authority.
Yeah, we had them on the news.
Now, Nigel, obviously the Olympics, that's what you're there for, but what else are you doing to satisfy yourself in the time you've got off?
That's why I come to China. No reason in particular there, Pete. I just turn up here.
So what have you been doing in your time off then, Nigel?
What am I doing in my time off? Well, just covering this minor sporting event called the Olympics. But it's been an interesting week. I've been here now a week in the build-up. There's been lots of smog. I've met one or two famous people.
Like who?
I got the bus back the other night in the Olympic Village with Sue Barker. And I don't care what people say. I don't think she's had any work done at all. I really don't.
That's good.
I think she's lovely.
Bully for Sue. She looked good at Wimbledon.
For somebody in her 70s, she looks terrific, I think.
She's not in her 70s.
Nigel, come on.
She was sitting behind me, but I was sitting beside the rather lovely Gabby Logan.
Oh, well, there you go. You see,
you
can't compare.
It's unbelievable. The BBC have found her something to do. Great.
Well, yes, but you know what they found her to do? They found her to do the evening highlights program, which right, it begins at 7:00 back home, begins at 2 a.m. in the morning.
Oh,
so,
dear.
So they found something for her to do, but in the middle of the night. Her presenting abilities, but there you go.
Now, here, listen, Nigel, have you spotted Adrian Childs yet?
I haven't spotted Adrian Childs, and I'm very disappointed. I'm just looking around here, and you know who's just arrived to do commentary on the opening ceremony? Hugh Edwards.
Hugh has
just arrived. I haven't spotted Adrian Childs yet, but I do plan to make myself known to him when I do.
All right, okay.
Ask him how Christine is.
Will I tell him about bouncing around my knee?
For those of you who missed that story, Nigel actually was put on the assignment to show Christine how to news read away back in the day. Isn't that right, Nigel?
Oh, it's about 20-odd years ago now, yeah.
Oh, well.
I thank you for explaining that to the listeners, just in case they weren't listening 2 weeks ago.
Yes, exactly. Well, here, listen, mate, enjoy the Olympic Games. It's going to be brilliant. I'm going home to get a seat in front of the box to watch the opening ceremony. Are you going to be doing commentary in the opening ceremony?
No, I'm not going to be doing commentary, but I will be keeping up to date on the news bulletins all morning long from inside the stadium here. It promises to be spectacular, especially the fireworks. Watch out for the firework display at the end. This is the country that invented fireworks, so watch out for that. I saw the bit of the rehearsal the other night, and it does promise to be quite a spectacular show.
Let's add to the smog with some fireworks.
Absolutely. Nigel, have a good one, matey.
Pete, I don't know how to say goodbye in Chinese, so... Bye-bye.
See you, man. Have a good one.
Bye.
Oh, here, bye. If you see Melanie Knocker, wish her all the best from us.
Oh, she was talking about you the other morning. She said hello.
Oh, good stuff. All right, man. 20 past 9 right here in Northern Ireland. Snodcast. You will notice this no matter where you've gone. Wherever you go to buy like your stationery, perhaps some books and stuff, but the back to school signs are everywhere, aren't they?
They are.
And of course, I remember whenever I was a kid going back to school, you got that awful, horrible, sinking sort of feeling in your stomach, and I really, really, really hated it.
And see, I liked it. It's again, because you get all your new stuff, and like, even though the school shoe shop or the school shoe shop
mm-hmm.
was always a nightmare because Mum and I never had the same taste. And we always had to go to a particular shoe shop, which back then, you know, wouldn't have been the best. It's come up and, you know, the kids are loving them now because they get wee toys and things in their shoes.
Mm. Well, I have to be totally honest with you and say that I didn't mind going to get the shoes because you stood on that machine. Remember the machine?
It squashed your feet, didn't it?
Remember that machine?
That's changed. Have you seen the new one?
No.
It doesn't do the anymore. You just stand there and it's sort of like, it's like scans your feet from underneath.
It's like a lasery type thing.
Well, sort of. You just have to stand on the footprints.
That's wet.
And it does it from underneath. Oh no, because you see a picture, it brings a picture of your feet up on the screen. Not actual feet, but you know.
That sucks. You want to... I wonder if you can buy one of those old machines on eBay now. They're bound to be on eBay. I would buy one.
I didn't like it whenever they used to bring the old plastic thing out with the tape measure on it. Because I was like, no, I don't want my feet measured that way. I want to stand on the machine.
Oh, there were too many kids in the shop and you had to go do the old crappy version. You want to... Wick! I hated that. I'm going on eBay straight after we finish here to find out whether I can buy one of those machines. Brilliant. Anyway, I used to hate the new school shoes because, as you said, Kirsty, myself and my mother, nothing to do with my dad. He just paid. My dad just paid for them, right?
Yeah.
But myself and mother always had different ideas of what was nice for
what
school.
What did you want to wear?
I wanted to wear trainers like the rest of the boys.
You're not allowed to wear trainers to school.
My mother would never have had me in trainers going to school, and all the other guys used to wear trainers, black trainers going to school, and I had to wear, you know, your proper...
The proper ones.
Yeah, which Mum would polish.
At that shop with the...
Yeah. And Mum would have had to, you know, polish them and all the night before I went back, and I hated the new school shoes going back to school because you had to break them in and everything.
Yeah.
But I remember one day, Kirsty, I'll never forget it, I remember one day I broke the rules.
What
I wore trainers
do?
To school. My mum still to this day doesn't know.
Oh, she does know.
No, she didn't know, honestly.
Oh, no? Why? How'd you get away with that then?
Dad let me sneak out in them.
was he a soft touch in the family then?
No, he wasn't. Mum was a soft touch. Whenever my dad spoke, he spoke and you knew you were in trouble.
Well, then your mum would have had to listen to him. Let him wear his trainers for one day.
No, I wore the trainers. And do you know how I remember distinctly that I wore the trainers?
Why?
Because... We all got out of school early.
Uh-huh.
Well, all the guys in the football team did.
Yeah.
Brilliant, we got out at 1 o'clock to make the walk, the legendary walk. It's not like walking down the Anfield Road, but close. Walking down the Clandeboy Road to Clandeboy Park in Bangor to watch Northern Ireland under-18s play against someone at Clandeboy Park for Bangor Football Club play. I'll never forget it. Unbelievable. Cool. And I wore trainers that day.
The Beats Nodding
Breakfast Show. Snodcast. We're reminiscing, ladies and gentlemen, in the studio here by going back to school, the things we hated about it. Well, Kirsty actually loved it because she looked forward to going back to school. But my
especially
goodness,
new pencils and things and pencil cases and your new shoes and your new uniform and everything was new.
Yeah, the new thing's good, but I just always remembered the fun I had during the summer holidays and I always thought to myself, I'm going to miss this.
You can do it after school though. And at the weekend.
No, but that sucked. After school sucked, particularly right if you had a hard homework. Mum used to always make me sit and do my homework before I could go out and play, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if it was a really hard one, then I would have missed going out.
Dare.
Anyway, yeah. Going for the school shoes, my favourite. Going for the pencil case, I liked it too. But the actual shoes I had to wear, I was never really fussing them, I have to be honest with you. Like, didn't like them at all. Going for school uniform now, I have to be honest with you and say that I hated that experience too.
It wasn't
pleasant.
Stand still! Yes, stand still. Let's check the length of these trousers. Or, well, it wouldn't have been trousers for me, but like tracky bottoms or whatever.
Right, well, it was trousers for me. And then, actually, you can turn them up. Never turned up. Remember the days? Well, you wouldn't have got this because you always wore a skirt.
But yeah, we used to turn our skirts up. Well, roll them.
Well, for blokes, right, you used to get the trousers, they were always longer, so they were sort of stitched up at the bottom, and then as the year progressed, you got taller, they were let down.
Did yours last a whole year?
I don't know.
I tell you what, some of the trousers I've been buying the last couple of years haven't lasted more than a week.
Oh, dear.
That was the worst. The most expensive school trousers ever bought came home a week later with a big hole in the knee.
Oh,
I was
dear.
Like, what are you doing?
Have you taken your kids yet to actually get the uniform? When did that happen?
Yes, because they go on Sunday, so we've had to be organised ahead of time. So they've got their shoes.
Oh, they're away for a couple of weeks, aren't they?
Three. So they come back on the Friday and then it's back to school on the Monday. So we've got no time.
Right, okay.
And last weekend's just going to be manic.
So was there a standstill escapade yesterday in the shop?
What do you mean?
Stand still!
Oh, no, actually. We only did jumpers yesterday.
Oh, right, okay.
And trainers.
How'd that go?
It went okay. First one's fitted perfectly.
Brilliant. So how much you get stroked out for a school jumper?
Two school jumpers.
How much?
£32.
No way!
Isn't that ridiculous?
They're little people!
I know they're little people, but they still cost a fortune.
The littler, the cheaper! That's
how
it should be.
And they're acrylic as well. They're not even wool.
I hate a woolly jumper because
I
always
loved woolly jumpers. No, because they sat nicer. Those acrylic ones are a bit crunchy. Anyway, while we were being served or waiting to be served, there's another couple there being served. The shop assistant was trying to get the wee girl, who's obviously going into P1. She was tiny. Her cardigan.
Oh.
And she stood there and she put her cardigan on and it looked great. And mum and dad were there looking
all
proud. Yes, it's their little girl off to school. And while they were talking to the shop assistants, I watched the daughter. She must have had a bit of a cold. So she decided she would wipe her nose on this cardigan from cuff to elbow.
Oh.
The whole way up. I just burst out laughing. I was like, classic. I was standing there going, you got to buy it. Please don't put it back.
Was the father scundered?
He started to tell her off, but whenever I started laughing, he started as well.
Did you? Was that you? Was it your daughter who put her snot all up the brand new cardigan? Did you buy it? If not, feel the guilt.
Snodcast.
Thank you for checking out this week's ramblings. As ever, you can download for free at coolfm.co.uk and subscribe for free at iTunes. Do it now if you haven't done already, and tell your mates. We are on the radio in real time, weekday morning 6 to 10 on your number one hit music station, 97.4 Cool FM.